Welcome back to Stateside. Online learning. Make no mistake about it, it is here and it is growing. The number of students in Michigan taking online courses has grown 52% in the past 3 years. Now, a new report from the Michigan Virtual University looks at virtual learning for K-12 students. Who's taking online classes? What kinds of classes? And how effective are those classes? And the results are mixed. Jamie Fitzpatrick is the president and CEO of Michigan Virtual University. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So before we look at some of the findings of your report, we should understand as we do talk about all of this that Michigan has three types of virtual learning. We've got individual courses, the hybrid mix of online and in-person, and then full-time virtual schools. So what were you focusing on with this new Michigan's K-12 virtual learning effectiveness report?
Well, I'll tell you first to kind of put this research into some national context.
Yes.
I'm not aware of any other states that's done anything like this, so we're probably 3 or 4 years ahead of most any other state that's really tried to look under the hood and see what's actually going on in our K-12 system as it relates to virtual learning. As you mentioned, the report was able to, and this is all data that was collected by the state as reported by local school districts. And so the data that we looked at, we were able to take those enrollments and put them into three buckets. Enrollments that were tied to the virtual school, the Michigan Virtual School.
Mm-hmm.
Enrollments that were tied to cyber schools, where kids are going to school full-time online. And then those that really were a solution that the local school district generated or created. And by far and away, that last category represents the vast majority of enrollments that were identified by school districts delivering virtually. I think the cybers represented about 8% of the enrollments, and the Michigan Virtual School was around 7%. So a very, very large number are those local solutions where it may be a local teacher's teaching a course online or they're using and working with a third-party provider to deliver that experience to the students.
So, well, the core question whenever there is a conversation about online learning is online learning as good as face-to-face learning? What can you tell parents based on your report?
Well, it really is a mixed set of results. We have 50% of the schools that had virtual enrollments in 2012 and 13 had school-wide completion or pass rates of 70% or higher. So that would probably be a set of numbers that would be very, very comparable to the face-to-face delivery within those same schools. Unfortunately, it looks as though we have one of the really interesting trends that's going on. It looks as though lower-achieving kids are being directed to online learning options, and I say that for a couple of reasons. First, the kinds of courses that kids were taking, for the most part, ended up being core courses. So math, science, social studies, English language arts represented around 70% of all enrollments. We thought that there might be a lot more enrollments in, like, world languages, some kind of a foreign language. I think that was only around 3%. So most kids, when they 90% of the enrollments were at grades 9 through 12, but most kids, when they take a high school course like English 9, they would take it locally. What we're finding is that we believe a lot of the kids that were taking these virtual enrollments were taking the virtual class as really kind of a credit recovery option, as kind of a second option. The concept of allowing high-achieving kids to use online learning as really a vehicle to go farther, faster,
yes,
doesn't appear to be a strategy that Michigan schools are using in large numbers, which really, really surprised us. We thought that this was about how to help young people go farther, faster, not necessarily help the kids that are struggling. And this data suggests that those kids that take 4, 5, 6 courses online in a supplemental mode,
mm-hmm.
not as part of a full-time cyber, are not doing as well as kids that are just taking 1 or 2 online courses. So the general answer is it really is a mixed result, and you'll have to look at the individual student. You'll have to look at the school and how they actually implement online learning in their local community.
So it sounds like I'm hearing you say that, let's say my son fails algebra in 9th grade. Well, then guess what? You're going to go online and take that class while you're doing your other coursework. Is that how it's being used?
I think that's a fair statement. In fact, one of the things that we have in Michigan that's been fairly popular is a thing called seat time waivers, which the state has been able to waive the requirement of the amount of seat time that a kid would have to count them. And literally take 4, 5, 6 courses online, stay connected to the local school that they're enrolled in. The completion rate for that population is around 48%. The completion rate for all of those 185,000 enrollments was hovering around 60%. So it seems like the more courses kids are taking online on a supplemental basis, they're not doing as well.
So it seems that we're certainly, as a state, embracing online learning. But based on what you found in this report, in the Michigan's K-12 Virtual Learning Effectiveness Report, what should be happening maybe before we go rushing in and having more youngsters taking online courses?
Well, Cynthia, I think the one thing that I hope that this report really does is spark some local discussion about how virtual learning delivery models can be leveraged for all students and not just those that are behind or in need of credit recovery. We know that there's no single delivery model that works effectively for all learners, adult and K-12. We know that in the higher ed world, last year around 30 to 40% of all college students took an online course. So as you mentioned, this is not going to go away. It's going to continue to be there. I don't think it's a matter of trying to come up with some magic solution as to who should take an online course and who shouldn't. I think the more important question is, if you're making that decision to have a student take an online course or multiple online courses, how are you supporting that student with local wraparound support services? And there's evidence to suggest that some schools are doing a really, really good job at that, and there's other data that suggests that online may not be the best solution for these students.
Does the report give us a sense, Jamie, of student outcomes, or is it a matter of just whether they pass the online course or not?
Well, the report did look at trying to create a relationship between how students did in online courses compared to the state, or I should say the ACT college entrance exam. Again, it's another one of those areas where we saw some mixed results. Kids who took online courses, and I think this has to do with the selection bias of the population of those 185,000 enrollments, but kids in that large group, those 185,000 students, didn't seem to do as well on the ACT if they had taken an online course, with one exception area, in science, in the courses that Michigan Virtual School delivers, we actually saw a higher average, higher than the statewide average. But I think that goes back to maybe the kids that are taking some of our courses are just more high-achieving students, and maybe it's an eighth-grade student that wants to take a high school-level science course, not that student who's maybe a second-semester junior and isn't looking to graduate on time and is taking a science course based on the fact that they maybe flunked it locally.
You know, looking ahead, Jamie, to the increasing reality and possibility of full-time virtual schools, there was a recent National Education Policy Center report that looked at state-assigned school performance ratings for virtual schools. And in the words of Gary Miron of Western Michigan University, found outcomes are absolutely terrible for full-time virtual schools. Do we need to be concerned about the pace at which we're embracing virtual learning in Michigan?
I think caution is a good thing when it comes to full-time online learning. I know that if I think back to when I was a middle school or a high school student and the thought of taking all of my courses online, I don't think would have been a good fit for me. I think a parent and their son or daughter really have to, and the advice that they could get from their local counselor or their school's administrators, really, is that an option? Now, we served some students this past year who happened to be in the Olympics this past winter. Now, clearly, they're in a completely different situation. We've served kids almost annually who suffer from some very serious health issues that prevent them from going to school. So if you exclude those special populations like a health issue or a gifted athlete, and you just are trying to figure out is a full-time online learning option going to be good for that for any student, my guess is it's going to be a very, very small percentage of our student population.
Well, meantime, much for parents to go over and chew over and digest with Michigan's K-12 Virtual Learning Effectiveness Report put out by the Michigan Virtual Learning Research Institute. And as always, it's a pleasure to talk to Jamie Fitzpatrick of Michigan Virtual University, President and CEO. Jamie, thanks so much. I know we'll be talking again.
You're welcome.